Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have winners for our contests. Also, a tiny bit of news about maybe some sharing of some Disney Plus coming soon.
And a bunch of feedback, and we're catching up on a lot of conversations that we've been trying to get to from the pages and pages of feedback. So, yeah, all that reference that we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall, I'm excited, buddy.
Why are you so excited, Matt?
Because a number of reasons that we're going to talk about up top. But the main one is we have a winner for both our contests. Let's start with the smaller one.
Smaller one
to win a t-shirt. We're giving a t-shirt away to someone who reviewed us on Apple iTunes this week. And that winner is Polar Bear 332. You have won a t-shirt. So hit us up, mcucast@gmail.com, and let us know your size and all that stuff, and we'll send you a t-shirt.
Congratulations, Polar Bear 332.
I hope the shirt keeps you warm in the polar areas.
Pandas provide shirts to polars?
Yeah. Pandas supporting polars. So stupid. Okay, and now, the moment you've all been waiting for. And seriously, guys, we've been doing this contest for like 6 months where we've gotten you guys to do a bunch of reviews. We added them all up. There were like almost 200 reviews given across all of our Stranded Panda podcasts. So thank you. Big cheers to you guys for like doing all of those reviews. Really helped us out and helped us try to grow all these new shows. Thank you. We'll do more in the future and give away something else cool. But for now, we are giving away the Avengers video game right now to our good friend, Braceface
07.
I believe we're pretty sure that's Marshall Naylor, who communicates over on the at least it was previously when he emailed us. I think he won a shirt. I think he won a shirt like a year ago or something.
Unless somebody stole his name.
Yeah, he might have been co-opted by someone else, but we believe that's Marshall Naylor. So Marshall, that unless someone else claims Braceface 07, that's you. Never mind. I don't know why I'm being silly about that. You win the Avengers game. So email us right. Actually, we'll probably email you because I think you have emailed us. I think you've literally sent in feedback this week. So congratulations, man. We did a big, took all 200 reviews, put them in a big pile, and did a random number generator, and then you were the winner, man.
Good. So yeah, congratulations. You were the second chosen.
Oh, that's right. He was the second chosen because last week we made a big joke about Jeff wanting to win, and me, I made a joke about how wouldn't it be funny if you won, Jeff, and then we had to pick another one. And sure enough, we did our random number generator, and the first review that came up was Jeff. That's so good. So good.
It's great quality control there.
Yeah, well, we didn't go through every line and delete all of the people who were you, which I think, so, so we had to do a redraw for that one. And yeah, good job having good luck there, Jeff. And yep. Also bad luck, because you used up your good luck on a thing you can't win.
Wasted it.
Wasted it. You won't win anything else the rest of the year. So funny.
Pretty much it.
We laughed. We laughed heartily. We weren't recording because it was really complicated to collate all those reviews and everything. So it was pretty boring stuff until that happened. And then we were falling out laughing. So that is the big thing that we wanted to say. And thank you guys so much for all the reviews. It really has been really helpful for our growth. And thank you. We're excited to play Avengers with Marshall and play Avengers with all of you guys, which we've been doing a lot of over on. We got the early access to the Avengers game, me and Jeff both. So we've been over there playing on Twitch, twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. And it has been really fun.
It's a good game. I enjoy it.
I do too. I really do too.
There's one gripe that I have is that I wish that I could switch characters like easily or at all.
Right, I'm still behind you, but I'm not even to a place where I can switch characters yet, but I do kind of, from what I understand, is you have to pour energy into one character, build them up with gear and all of that, gear and skill points and all that kind of stuff. And so when it's time to swap, it's not the, you can't really just swap over, right?
Yeah. That's the look of it.
That's a bummer, but you know, I don't know. I'm excited to see what it does. I'm kind of excited to specialize, honestly, because it seems like all the heroes are somewhat different in the way they work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of want to focus on one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be a Thor powerhouse. That's all there is to it.
That's true. I was thinking about which, because you can't play with, I don't know, I haven't gotten this far. You're further than me. Can you play multiplayer with two Thors?
No. You cannot have two people that are the same character on the same loadout.
That's neat. That's neat from like a continuity guy. I like that. But also it means that I'm definitely not picking Thor, because then I'm not going to play with you. So I need to pick something other than Thor. I'm liking Kamala Khan. I am. Anyway.
Yeah.
This will be fun. Our new Stranded Panda Gaming podcast that, you know, will inevitably start.
That we haven't made yet.
No, but, you know, inevitably we'll be asking for reviews for it in a couple weeks.
We'll do another giveaway. Spider-Man game, I guess?
Yeah, we are probably doing a couple giveaways in the coming months, maybe for Spider-Man, Miles Morales, because we're going to try to boost our numbers on MCU Cast again before the big... before the big Black Widow comes out and we finally have new content in this universe.
Big Black Widow. Is that a new... Never mind.
Oh, gosh. speak of asking for things. I've been saying about my Indiegogo campaign for my music that I have been running for... it's been a month and a half now. It has 5 days left. So this is the last MCU cast before... that drops before I finish the Indiegogo campaign. I am at 38% funding, so still a long way to go. I know I've done these campaigns years ago, and there's always a big curve at the end where people like that meant to do it hadn't done it yet. So this is the last MCU cast where I will be mentioning the Indiegogo campaign. So if you're interested in getting the new album or just supporting some geeky music, please go check out the Indiegogo campaign. You can go to strandedpanda.com/new album and just click through to the Indiegogo campaign. It's right there. It would be incredibly helpful to me. So if you've been meaning to do it and you've just been putting it off, this is the last week. Now, let's get into some news. How about it?
All right. So other than the big news of Chadwick Boseman's unfortunate, untimely passing... there's a teensy little bit that the source code for Disney Plus has been scrawled over, you know, poured through, like, you know, the hounds that people are who do this sort of thing. We tend to be very thorough like this, but it has been analyzed, and it seems that there is a feature in development to provide a group watch along. Feature like a party watch and
like a
discuss.
Netflix party or whatever.
Yeah, sort of like a Netflix party.
That's cool, man.
Group watch and discuss sort of thing. And if that comes out before Falcon and Winter Soldier, like if we get that for Falcon and Winter Soldier, think about how much we could all just get together, just have a huge. I hope that they can support MCU cast kind of numbers. on this group, because we're gonna throw it down.
Well, what would be really fun is we could do a Twitch stream where we all watch along and chat, or I don't know. Yeah, I guess we could chat in there and then do a Twitch stream podcast after or something like that. Kind of like we did for Altered Carbon, but it'd be for like new content that's coming out. That's exciting. WandaVision's gonna be the first thing, right? That's what we think now.
I don't know.
Right.
Falcon Winter Soldier was supposed to be first, and then.
They got like shut down, but WandaVision supposedly finished wrap shooting, so I think that's probably coming out sooner than... Anyway, yeah, I don't know.
They haven't said, but if that feature comes out, if that feature drops beforehand, we might have to talk about a new way to podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a new way to binge.
Yeah, it'd be really neat to do something like that. I'm down. We'll talk about it as we go. Figure out how best to do that. I don't know.
You know, if they do it weekly, like they did with The Mandalorian, then you know, that's a specific time and day, you know, that we could schedule for everybody to gather together.
Oh yeah, for sure. The only problem, I wonder what time they'll drop it. Like, if they'll, I hope they make it a prime time drop in that case, because it's much better, easier to get people together at prime time than it is like 2 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is when a lot of these things come out.
Even if they do allow it at like 2 a.m., if that's when they drop it, like, we'll still just set a timer for, you know, 5 p.m. or something like that.
Right, right. We can Eastern. Do something like that. For sure. I just, it would be nice if, like, we're all sitting around with our popcorn and it, like, drops on Disney Plus and we can all sit around and talk and chat about it, you know?
Yep.
That would be cool. That would be real cool.
Yep. I'd be down for that. Anyway, so that's really the only news that I have been able to uncover on the web this week. Like, it's been dead.
Quite a week. That's rad. I'm excited about that one. And of course, the biggest news, but we already did a whole podcast on it, so we weren't going to talk about it much. And honestly, it puts me in quite a dark mood. But Chadwick Boseman's death has just been rough, man. It's just been a rough, rough week, even just thinking and talking about that. And I keep finding myself in conversations about it. And, like, seriously, I don't know. This one just affected me in a pretty hard way. And if you want to hear us talk in depth about that, we just did a full tribute podcast to Chadwick Boseman the other day. So check that out if you want to. But we have a few feedbacks about it. We're definitely not, like, shying away from it because I really think we all should celebrate his life and his legacy of what he accomplished. Like, I'm just thinking, I've been watching others of his movies this week. I watched 42, and then last night I watched Get On Up, and, like, the accomplishment of that dude in 4 years, you know, like, he's four or five years, like, he's so many iconic characters that he played and really, really well done movies. And I just can't, it's heartbreaking and horrible, that he's gone.
Yeah. You know, I'm really sad that I haven't seen 21 Bridges yet. Because when I saw the trailer for it, it was like, you know, the directors who made Civil War, and, you know, starring Chadwick Boseman. I was like, hold up, what?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm so on that.
I was in the same reaction, and then for some reason, I just never got around to seeing it. But I'll probably watch it tomorrow, because tonight I'm podcasting all night, because, gosh, I have so many podcasts. I did the Star Trek Universe podcast today. Now the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Then I'm at 6:30. I'm finishing up Bill and Ted for Binger's Assemble, and then at 8 o'clock I've got Lovecraft Country for PandaVision. It's just like four podcasts in one day and two live streams. So, like, it's just
that's nuts.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's kind of my normal week of podcasting and live streams. Like, I normally do about that much, but
it's all in one day.
For some reason, the only availability everybody had was today. And I was like, well, I guess that's my whole day. Luckily I'm off, and luckily I have no job. So
I'm sure you put luckily in quotes there.
I put
a question mark after it.
I am getting an awful lot of podcasting in.
Luckily. Well, since you got such a packed schedule, let's get to it on this feedback.
Yeah. Speaking of Bingers, by the way, if you guys who were following along with the X-Men rewatch on Bingers Assemble, we also covered
We got New Mutants.
Actually, another me and Jeff pod, me and Jeff joint, which you don't get to do that much. Me and Jeff covered New Mutants on Bingers Assemble this week. So it's exciting to have new content on Bingers. That's been fun.
And that, you know, that movie was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, I totally agree. I look back on it fondly.
Yeah, man. I'm 100% in that camp too. We did a whole podcast about it. It's like, it's a horror movie. If you go in looking for a horror, I'm sure there's some people that are probably deciding whether to watch it. And if you are, just go in knowing what you're getting. It's like a teen horror movie, but it exists in the Marvel universe. And so like, I wouldn't expect too much more than that. And then you'll really enjoy it. If you go in expecting it to be like a full on X-Men epic movie, then it's just not that.
Yeah. You're going to be disappointed if that's the case. So, know what you're getting.
Yeah. Buyer beware.
All right. Ready for feedback?
I am. Let's do as much of this feedback as we can. I want to talk to everybody.
Here's your feedback.
Thank you, Jeff. I feel like that's an insult. I will take it. I will take it thusly.
You're using a lot of big words, and I don't understand it, so I'm going to take it as disrespect. Watch your mouth and help me make the sale. Anyway, okay.
What is that from? Help me make the sale.
It's from The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, okay. I like that movie a lot, actually.
Yep. It's a great one.
The movie has more heart than I remember. It also has a lot of homophobia for how late that movie was made. We were watching Bill and Ted for Bingers, me and Brian V. Klein, and in both the first two Bill and Teds, they use slurs for homosexuals, and it's just like a PG-13 movie from the from 89, and it was just like, ooh, yikes, whoops. it was a different time.
Yeah.
It's not easy to look back on that. Like, that's only 30 years ago. It's not like an adult rated R film. This is like a, for all intents and purposes, like a kids or teenager movie.
Yeah. Like, that was the mainstream thing.
Yeah. I was like 7 or something when I watched that movie and I loved it. And that was definitely in there. All right. Let's get feedback. Go. Sorry.
Science Matters tweeted at us. Adam Zucast first. RIP Chadwick. What a tragic loss.
Mm-hmm.
Wakanda forever. Listening to the new pod right now, guys, and I think this whole Snyder Cut thing was less about bowing, rather just a business opportunity. Since HBO Max was recently released, why not invest for content to draw?
Sure. That is definitely one way to look at it. It's funny. We got a lot of feedback about the Snyder Cut and what people think about it. And, yeah, it's interesting, the different takes. It's like, I know one person brought up, like, I don't think you included it in the feedback because we did talk about it, but they were like, you guys just need to understand, it's like, you know, the tragedy of his daughter, like, it's really cool of them to let him finish what he'd made. And I was like, yeah, that's a great point. But then, you know, right here we have someone being like, guys, it's a pure business decision. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's just interesting the different ways people view it. It's like, stop bothering them. It's a business decision. And then, like, stop bothering them. They're being incredibly altruistic, you know? It's like,
now, a company is never altruistic, period.
Sure. Sure. Companies are people. There are times when depends on the size of the company. I know that, like, all companies want the bottom line, but there are people in companies, and they can make decisions that are, like, intentionally to make decisions based on their values, not just their bottom line. Not saying that's what they're doing, but it is possible. It is humanly possible for a company that is trying to make good value decisions.
If they wanted to give him time to you know, mourn his loss and finish his vision, they would have just put a pause on production and then not release the film until he was ready to come back and finish it.
Sure.
But they wanted to get the hype train continue rolling on it. They wanted to get the movie out as quick as possible. And in classic WB fashion, or in classic, yeah, Warner Brothers fashion, they pushed the wrong thing, which was to get a different director that has a completely different tone from your first director to come in and finish it.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. That was a bad decision.
So
all around.
I cannot believe for a second that they're being altruistic in any way.
Yeah, I don't. I hear you.
But that's an argument for another day.
It definitely is.
Marshall Naylor. Hey, we were just talking about this guy.
Marshall Naylor, you won a video game. Yay.
He said, how is this not brought up immediately? If Jeff isn't there on trivia night, he can build his own Ada to accompany Matt. Just don't let it read any books, Jeff. Specifically your D&D books. P.S. Elizabeth Henstridge and Gemma's birthday is 9/11. Do something special. We missed Fitz's, though.
Oh.
So we had 10 days to plan a birthday party for Elizabeth Henstridge that we have to get her to.
Yeah. So we have to kidnap Elizabeth Henstridge? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Maybe.
Only for birthday purposes. It's a sweet thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing bad about it.
Just a birthday kidnapping.
Just...
of a person who we don't know. Just yep. A good old birthday kidnapping.
Just a good old-fashioned birthday kidnapping. You know, like you see in the movies.
Yeah, for sure. Oof.
That's troublesome. So, I have built a bot. It's called Vision, and
yeah,
so far it's going real good.
Yeah, we're really excited. We might do a test run of Vision this week in trivia, just to, like, see how it goes. Pretty excited about it.
Yeah. All right. Sharon McKissick said, now see here, you... To my birthday Twinkie, Jeff, and the amazing Matt. Ooh. Okay, so now that I've got your attention.
She does indeed. Out. She does indeed.
I'm interested.
Your birthday Twinkie, and she called me amazing. I'm very interested.
I mean...
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Flattery gets you exactly to the top. Do we want to give her the game?
Sorry, Marshall.
She says, I want to truly thank you guys for being a true lifeline to me over the last few months. I started listening to you guys over a year ago or so when I was traveling for work as a video tech for a live events company looking for reviews of Marvel movies. And I loved the fact that you discussed the continuity of the universe. Your passion for the MCU gave me hours and hours of enjoyment and laughter during a trying time in my life. I had been going through a separation that was then followed by isolation and layoff caused by this damn pandemic. You were even there for me when dealing with the legitimate fear of being a black woman in America. Being able to connect with you live through Facebook and on Twitch has been my connection to the outside world. And even though I haven't won a trivia contest yet, I truly just love the community of chatting with people about something I care about and the ability to escape into the MCU with you fellows. Can't wait to see what you come up with next. Marvel truly needs to recognize your considerable amount of awesomeness. Your considerable amount of awesomeness. Mm-hmm. Please keep up the great work. Sincerely, a true believer, Hera JK.
Hera. I guess you probably go by Hera because it's your name on Twitch. Hera, thank you so much. When I saw this message come through, it was a couple weeks ago actually, but we've been so backed up. And I don't know. I'm always weird about. I always like am slow to put really nice things in the feed. And that this community has meant so much to me during this same time. Like you talked about layoffs and this crazy pandemic and the fears and the racial tensions and like, I don't know, man, having this community of people, to connect with has been hugely important to me too. And so it's not a one-sided thing. And so thank you very much for being a part of it. And, yeah, we love you 3000.
We love you 3000, not 300.
No, no, we're no Haley Hobbs over here.
Oof.
It's just funny. It's totally, she dropped 10 and we're just not going to let her live it down.
Nah, never. Marshall Naylor also said, someone else has probably come up with this, but what if the MCU introduces Wolverine as a middle-aged or even old man Logan? I don't really want the entire X-Men in the MCU, though having a few is perfect. Introducing him through another hero's movie like Black Panther got introduced in Civil War. Like, hey, we need someone's help, but they have to be off the Accords. Remember those? Yeah, they're still going to be a problem. Okay, I know a guy. Something like that. And since the Skrulls versus the Fantastic Four are a big thing, maybe introducing them as anti-heroes or brainwashed Kree could work out too. Thoughts, Marshall?
What are your thoughts, Jeff?
I don't know. It feels kind of like a disservice to the X-Men to not bring all of them in. You know, with the X-Men being such a big part of the MCU continuity. Or not MCU continuity, but Marvel continuity.
Yeah. I get the idea of stripping it down. I mean, everything they've done in the MCU up till now has been sort of stripped down. But yeah. I like the idea. The kind of cool thing about the X-Men is you could bring them in, kind of like the Avengers. They had a lot of adventures between Avengers 1 and 2. Like, rounding up Hydra or I guess between Winter Soldier and Age of Ultron, there's a lot of stuff that they did. They kind of give nods to. And with the X-Men, you could kind of have this expansive world where, yeah, you have connections, you have times you connect with them and you see parts of their story, but the X-Men could still have a lot of story. And I like that making the world feel lived in thing. So like, even if you still had just a connection, only a connection to a few X-Men over the next few movies, it'd be kind of nice if the X-Men were still out there operating on their own. I think we will eventually get an X-Men movie, like a traditional, well, I won't say traditional. I hope they do something radically new and different, but I think we will eventually get a full X-Men team, know what that'll look like and whether the school will be involved and how many kids will be there and how many mutants will be in the world. All that is a question, but like,
yep.
I think, especially since they played with the Inhumans idea for a little while before they got the mutants back, I think that it is possible, it's very possible that we'll get some sort of, I think they want to introduce an idea that has more legs than single heroes and villains at a time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
They need their kryptonite rock from Smallville, you know?
Sure. With the X-Men though, like the individual characters are they're cool, they're fun, you know, they can have good stories individually, but the crux of X-Men is the team. The team is its own character and identity. It does, you know, morph and shift as time goes on, as people come and go, but the team and its cohesiveness is part of the whole thing, because it's that found family, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that would be an important part, but certainly introducing the individual characters in like these other movies, you know, maybe one or two at a time before moving them into their own altogether movie would probably be a smart thing. And, you know, Marvel's got the groundwork laid for that already, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I really hope they do, you know. I think they should start from scratch right now with an they have this lived-in world. It's not from scratch. They have a lived-in world with characters that are going to continue to be new and interesting, have new and interesting stories, you know, with Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, the entire Wakandan army of interesting characters. And I really want... I would like to see them introduce them one at a time, like they did the Avengers. Just take two phases if you need to, and build the X-Men right, you know?
Yeah.
In a way that, like, we've never seen them built properly, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it could be so great, and I feel like it's in good hands now, finally. Rather than Simon frickin' Kinberg. Anyway. Not a fan, really. He did, like, he's the one who finished Apocalypse and had been an EP on it for a while, and then he came in and just completely did Dark Phoenix in its entirety, and Dark Phoenix was pretty much just trash.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, not a fan. Anyway, beside the point. Jesse Salee 56 hit us up in an email. Guys, amazing podcast. I came across y'all 2 years ago, and I've been loving every single episode. You guys are hilarious, and Matt's music is great.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for keeping the Marvel spirit alive in this time of drought. I look forward to more projects y'all have, and hopefully once the Avengers game comes out, we get to play. I've been a nerd, gamer, comic book worm, you name it. Thanks, guys, for all you do, and keep up the great job. We'll always be here listening and watching your Twitch channel.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Well, we should definitely, you know, hook up and play some Avengers soon.
You want to do that? Like right now?
Yeah. We'll see you guys later. Peace out.
Bye.
Just kidding. Actually, be really funny to just hang up. And I did that on a podcast. Oh, no, I did that on Twitch the other night.
You did that on Twitch. I was like, cut the feed. And you just ended it right there.
We were joking on previous weeks on Twitch. We've joked that, like, once it drops below about 10 people, like, we should probably cut the feed. Like, you know, at that point, we're just talking to each other, basically. And there's, like, maybe two or three people watching. And we were like, once it drops below 10. That's just been, like, a general guideline, though. And I said that, I told the people that were on Skype with us that night, I was like, yeah, once it drops below about 10, we tend to cut the feed. And at that moment, it dropped to 9. And Jeff started going, cut the feed. And I was like, oh no. And I just cut it. And like all the people that were in the chat were like, well, that was abrupt. What happened? That was fun. It's a good time.
We decided to have a little fun. Jokes at everyone else's expense that we find hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
are we trolls for that?
I don't think that was trollish. We're not hurting anyone else's feelings or anything.
Okay. That's fair. 084, send us an email. Another week, another X-Men movie idea. I've heard a lot of theories about doing a reversal of No More Mutants and making Scarlet Witch simply say the word mutants to will them into existence. While this would be a cool nod to comics, nothing in Wanda's MCU arc would motivate her to do this. How would she even know the word mutant? But I do like the idea of no more mutants already having happened in the MCU. She could have wiped out all mutant powers, including her own, and even wiped the world's memories of the X-Gene. Hydra's experiments with her and her brother could have reawakened their abilities. The way I see it, an X-Men movie could start with a depowered Magneto, Denzel, of course, and not at all the Maximov's father, living alone on Genosha. He sees Wanda Maximoff resurfacing on the news, killing Wakandans right before Civil War. He reaches out to Charles Xavier about the idea that their powers could be reawakened, but is turned away because Xavier has moved on and is helping people in other ways. Years later, Magneto learns about the rumored notion that quantum time travel solved Thanos' snap and tracks down Bill Foster to convince him to help hatch his plan. Bringing in my previous ideas about the all-new X-Men team, Magneto brings from the past the teenage versions of Cyclops, Jean Grey, Iceman, Angel, and Beast, choosing that specific team as revenge against Xavier for rebuking him. He exposits to them that Wanda, as a little girl, was a very powerful mutant who was caught in the middle of an X-Men / Brotherhood conflict that killed her parents. Traumatized and trapped in the rubble with Pietro, she breathes no more mutants. The fight she had been surrounded by was replaced by a human firefight with Stark weapons, and the Maximov twins are left orphaned and powerless, but alive. The rest of the movie would have Magneto twisting the tale to his own benefit and trying to mold the young X-Men into his new brotherhood. That's about as much as I've pondered, but it would end with the teens wising up and ending the movie back under Xavier's leadership. I think it would set up an interesting way to introduce the idea of the X-Gene to the MCU 24 movies in. Thoughts? Until next time.
I think that's a great movie you just wrote there, 084. Like, no joke. I think that's like a really clever way to do it. It doesn't take away anything that's happened. I guess the only problem with it, I love it. Let me say that. First off, I always want to punch holes, but let me say, I think it's a cool, cool idea. The only problem is it does sort of... It sort of makes you think that this entire universe we've been watching never happened, kind of. It's like this is all a dream of Wanda's, which is, you know, not the worst thing. It's kind of a great twist. But it, I could see people being like, well, but then nothing's real. Like, none of this, all of this is just a dream of Wanda. Everything we've been watching up till this moment is a dream of Wanda's, that she's reformed the world to be that way.
No, it's not a dream of Wanda's. It's not like House of M in the comics. It's she shaped the world. It's more like Neil Gaiman's Eternals.
Right.
It's more Eternals than House of M.
Right, but that it was still like it still has that issue. I'm not saying it's horrible. I think it's actually a really cool idea and a really cool way to be like, hey, these people exist. They have existed. They're getting their memories back and they're being. But then, like, would other people have lives? Like, who is Tony Stark in that world? Is he Tony Stark? Is he changed greatly? Who is Captain America? And do their memories? Well. They're both probably gone. But, like, do the other characters' memories come back, not non-mutants? Do we, like, change their backstories, too? I don't know. But I do think it's super clever, and I could actually just really see it being a character story, especially, like, introducing Magneto as this character who's, like, trying to fight to bring back a world of mutants that has been lost. That's, like, kind of beautiful.
It is. It is. I think, honestly, that is actually pretty perfectly set up. If we're talking, like, WandaVision seems to be her, like, kind of introducing us to the power of her making up reality.
Right.
Or crafting reality based on her whim, accidentally. And also Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness coming right off of that. We've already seen time travel used to kind of breathe multiverse into existence. But if we think of, like, taking people from the past, you know, much the same way that they did in comics, we're already set up for that sort of thing. And that's kind of perfect. Like, it's kind of, I want that. I want that now. I'll go ahead and say it.
All right.
I want that.
I like it. I think it's a really fun idea. I love it. Good job, Wave 4. I seriously think that's a script idea, you know? Like, designing that entire scenario, that's absolutely a way a Marvel could do it and be completely original with it, but still kind of referencing all the versions of the X-Men we've ever known, you know?
Yeah.
But introducing characters anew. Yeah. This next one's actually funny. Drew Greck sent us, "Hi guys, you called Disney Plus in May 2006. I love this. Drew Greck has been
2016.
Oops. Yeah. We called Disney Plus in 2006 before streaming existed.
Yep.
No, right. 2016. And so here's the audio on that. I love that Drew keeps sending an audio. I guess he's listening to old casts and keeps sending audio of us calling stuff. I love it.
The Disney money.
And I mean, yeah. Disney's got that Star Wars money, so, like, it's, the funding is there.
We were discussing it before we came on air, and I think I would pay, like,
oh, yeah,
$6 or $7 a month for a exclusively Marvel streaming service.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if they put on all of the Marvel content up till now, that I could rewatch at any time, all of the movies, all of the shows, and then everything that comes out Marvel came out on that show, on that all the Netflix series, all of the TV shows just came directly from Marvel's. Everything that came from Marvel Studios showed up on a streaming service. Just that. Maybe throw the cartoons in to wrangle the kids.
Yeah.
Just the live action stuff, I would absolutely pay a monthly fee to get those.
And think if, like,
Disney, where is my money?
Right? Where's my royalty check?
Where is my money? Bitch better have my money. Okay, sorry.
No, you're right. You're right to think that.
Thank you. I felt like I was right, but, you know, I didn't want to be too bold. But, yeah, bitch better have my money.
Feel very justified in demanding, bitch, but I have my money.
Okay. Sorry.
Good stuff. All right. Looks like Marshall Naylor again.
Marshall won the video game and then got two feedbacks in this week. Nice.
We're going to have to limit this guy. He's doing too much. You need to calm down, Marshall.
No.
Okay.
It's probably my fault. He's probably sent these in over a few weeks and I'm bad at organizing things.
Damn it, Matt. You're making Marshall look bad.
Sorry.
Marshall says, "Hey guys, I haven't listened to your newest cast yet, but I will after this. I have a few things to say. Number one, I know it's a thought in all of our minds, but all the people who are just posting, 'Oh, but what about Black Panther 2? Are being jackasses. It's definitely a question, but not the one we should be worried about.
Agreed.
Also, yes.
And if you're one of those people, no hate or anything, but, like, I think we should, I think this week we shouldn't talk about what are they going to do about Black Panther. You know, like, that's just not the question. It's just a man is dead. So I'm just trying to let those questions simmer and be talked about later out of respect.
Right. Like, angry.
Yeah.
Rage. Marshall continues. Number two. Fuck 2020. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I agree. This is kind of the worst year.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I made a shading drawing, probably one of the best I've ever done, of Sebastian Stan, and I thought that might be the last one of those I'd do for a while. Today I thought, maybe not.
Yeah.
Did he send us pictures of these?
I don't think he did.
Why are you talking about these and not sending them in, Marshall?
Yeah. Send us in.
Why are you gonna tell a not show?
Yeah. That's bad screenwriting. Your email is bad screenwriting.
Number four. It is weird that you guys did Black Panther trivia this week. I think someone on Twitter pointed this out too, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, we did it this week, and like it got Black Panther on all of our minds, and then Chadwick died. It's just really, it sucks, man. Ugh. Yep.
And number five, he quoted T'Challa from Captain America Civil War. In my culture, death is not the end. It's more of a stepping off point. You reach out with both hands, and Bast and Sekhmet lead you to the Green Veldt, where you can run forever.
Yeah. It's a nice thought.
Widow says that sounds very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's nice to think of it that way. It's nice to think of it in that manner, that, you know, he's not in pain anymore. And, you know,
I can't imagine the pain and the loneliness he had these last few years.
Yep.
And hopefully not loneliness. Hopefully he had people in his life that were really there for him. But it just seems like keeping that secret would be really hard. And hard to focus on everyone else when you're going through such a... Well, maybe not. Maybe hard is not the word. Maybe just it's very evolved of him to focus on everyone else and trying to make this stuff... exist in the world.
He was doing what he could with the time he had left.
Mm-hmm.
Number six in Marshall's list of things to say. He was diagnosed in 2016, meaning he filmed Black Panther, Infinity War, and Endgame with stage 3 cancer, all while also helping kids with the same thing.
Mm.
Now he can be another panther on the tree. Rest in peace, our king. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, thank you, Marshall, for sending that in. It's just, there's not much more to say. We talked about it so much last week, and, you know, I don't want to bring everything down, but, like, yeah, it's tough. It's really been, like, every time it comes up, I'm just at the edge of tears thinking about mostly the idea that he, like, gave so much in his last years.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Let's see. Anna Grace Hatchett says, "Hey guys, I just finished listening to your recent podcast in the car and I have a few things." Oh man, Matt, this is rough.
Uh-oh.
No, the date on it, recent podcast, and it's July 23rd is when she emailed it. Oof.
Well, 31st it says. But yeah, that was, this is a month old. During Shield's finale, we got so much feedback that we could not keep up with everything.
Yeah,
so we are a little behind, but catching up rather quickly.
Hey guys, I just finished listening to your recent podcast in the car, and I have a few things. I think it's interesting that 2020 happened during the time span between Infinity War and Endgame. I know this is very unlikely, but do y'all think it's a possibility that Corona could have caused some mutants to snap? I don't know how mutants work, so I might be way off. Also, I don't think Wanda is going to go into a coma. I think it's very possible that she will simply be fantasizing about her and Vision. She's only 20 or 21 and never really had her teenage years. I'm pretty sure that every teenage girl fantasizes at one point or another. She just never really had anything to fantasize about. That probably made no sense, but whatever. Love you 3000, AG.
Hey, thank you, Anna Grace. Sorry it took so long to get to that. Yeah, I think that's a really good... it's very possible that what she's doing is just fantasizing, but the fact that her comic persona is what it has the ability to do... To manifest things in that way. I just feel like... I feel like if they're going this much into her creating her own world with Vision, then it's very likely to be some sort of manifestation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It may well be a fantasizing, But if it is, that fantasizing is what's causing the reality that we know to shift. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I think that's right. I really think that's probably the case. So, yeah. But who knows? You might be right, Anna Grace. I really don't know. We had a couple S.H.I.E.L.D. things left that we still haven't gotten to. Do you want to run down these last like three or four S.H.I.E.L.D. things and then cut it for the week?
Sure.
Cool. We got these couple S.H.I.E.L.D. things. So, spoiler alert for S.H.I.E.L.D., the finale.
The entirety.
Tried to save it to the end here because we are going to spoil things. So, if you don't want that, we'll see you soon.
Until next time, true-ish believers.
Until next time, stick around, guys. Come on. Don't leave.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Come on. Until this section, true believers. Come on.
Until a second from now.
Jordan Pierce hit us on Patreon, said, so in our universe, that is the real world, people can survive in space without a spacesuit for around 15 seconds before passing out, which is how long it takes the body to use up the oxygen in the blood. What we do know is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe is not ours because, well, superpowers, time travel, impossible technology, etc. What we can't assume is their universe's human beings are identical to ours and would not fare any better in the void of space without a spacesuit. Now, what we don't know is how does the inhuman abilities of Quake help Daisy's body survive the void of space? Maybe she doesn't use all of her oxygen as quickly due to the vibrations, or her vibrations create a barrier around her. Remember, comic universe. But we also don't know how long she was out in the void of space. The team could have gotten her pretty quickly. Maybe just a couple of minutes or less, and she wasn't actually even dead. Maybe she was just unconscious, and all Korra needed to do was give her some energy to wake up, since Daisy's was being sapped by the lack of atmospheric pressure. I don't know if any of that tracks, but they made a point to show that she was freezing over. Her body looked stiff and very cold, and the cold is the last thing that you'll need to worry about in space. The reason being is heat would take a long time to leave a body in a vacuum due to convection and conduction not really being a factor here. Sorry, long explanation, I know, but I love you guys, and I'm really sad there will be no more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. talk. So maybe you guys can do a rewatch again soon, or just pick out major episodes and rewatch and re-record a new episode. Either way, love you guys 3000.
That's not a bad idea, actually, like, to go back and, like, someone else ask us something similar.
Like our favorite moments kind of thing?
Yeah, like, or just pick an episode that we think we're, you know, we remember well, but, like, whatever. It's interesting for whatever reason, and go check out how that episode feels to us now after we know where it all goes, and how much does it seem like they knew where they were going. Those kind of questions are always interesting to me. I like this one. 084 says, Lifehack is a great superhero name for Korra in her admittedly plot convenient power set. we were saying Lifehack last week. Lifehack, use Korra.
Yep.
And that's a great superhero name. Love it. Enrico sent in a picture of the character from the finale of S.H.I.E.L.D. that carried in the last piece. It was the black man who said he like had a hard time getting there, and he was an older man who walked in.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea. I'm not sure if it's true, but it might be. Enrico Versace says, I'm pretty sure this guy was Nick Fury's father or grandpa mentioned in Winter Soldier, like the elevator operator.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be exactly, except for he was an old man with a paper bag. You know, I think he had that thing in a paper bag, which I think the timing might work out about right. And they described that he had a paper bag that he would show his money and his gun in. That would be cool. I like that idea, but I don't know that we have enough info to think that. Did he say he was an elevator operator?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Like in the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, I mean.
Oh, no. Not in the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. Yeah, no.
Sorry, that's what I'm talking about. Because in Winter Soldier, he says he's an elevator operator. And, yeah, I think other than that, then it seems like the only reason we think that is the he's a black man of the approximate right age with a paper bag, which I feel like that's...
It's kind of profiling.
Yeah, you're right. It's profiling. People with paper bags.
Yeah. Old black men with paper bags are Nick Fury's grandfather. All of them are Nick Fury's grandfather.
We do not mean to tease you. I think it's actually a really fun theory, but like, I don't know that they put enough in the text. If they meant that to be the case, unless I missed something. Well,
if they meant that to be the case, they didn't say it to me.
Wait, was this in the same city as the...
It's in New York.
Is that where Fury's from?
I don't
from?
Remember, man.
Because if Fury's father's in New York, which maybe he was...
He was... I don't know.
I gotta go rewatch the scene. Because if his father's from New York, that definitely narrows it down and makes it feel a little more possible. Because like, if he said...
There's so many people in New York.
Right. But still, there's a lot less people in New York than there are in the world. So... you're like, not that much less. But no, I think that's a fair assessment. It definitely increases the likelihood. I'm not saying it like... It's not a... You know,
yeah, it's not enough to be a certainty.
No,
it's not enough to be anywhere near a certainty.
No, for sure not. But I do think it's a fun theory. I like the fun of it.
Okay. Tim Brown says, hey, it was mentioned that Chronicoms do have different programs. Enoch even warned May before his battle with her when she woke up that, in so many words, he had upgraded his combat program. I have to rewatch the older stuff with him, but. That said, I recall in the beginning, fighting wasn't his thing, and hunters were actually tougher. Somewhere along the way, to probably protect his friends, he upgraded his programming to include advanced combat skills. And when he's full tilt into it, he's pretty good, as in the one episode he pretty much kills them all, including May, several times in various time loops. Also, in one of those articles, they mentioned that being in the quantum realm protects you from the blip. But when I read them say that... It still throws me off, as that would only make sense if you were in that realm at that moment that Thanos snaps. And that's not likely, is it? I mean, I gotta get the timeline right. I thought it was almost real time, so the snap would be like 2018. Arg, it's a headache to fix it all.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's kind of unfixable. I mean, I guess they never really said what year it was when the Chronicoms were attacking. I mean, I will sit here and try to fix it. So why do you
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., unfixable.
Why do you have to push me down this road, Tim? Yeah, I think I love the headcanon about, it's not even headcanon really, the fact that we talked about the difference in the Chronicoms and how some of them were harder to kill, and somebody was complaining about it, and we're like, but some are hunters and some are not. And that makes a lot of sense, and it actually does fix that problem. Like, it fixes the problem on the ship, because on that ship, there'd be a lot of different kinds of Chronicoms. Like, some would be easy to kill, some would be hard to kill. Matt could probably knock one out, while others would take much greater measures. You know, it totally makes sense. It's plot convenience at its best.
Plot convenience at its best. Mac like punches one until it gives up, and he's just like, this one must have been a painter.
Right. It's one of those art Chronicoms.
Yeah, right.
As an artist, I take offense.
Well, it just reminds me of that scene in 300. It's like, see, old friend, I brought more soldiers than you did. Sculptor, sir.
As for the blip, this is the problem with the whole quantum realm protecting you from the blip thing. They're there the whole time because they overlap with themselves when they go back through the quantum realm. They get there before they left. So there was always a version of them on the planet in like regular space during that time period. It's so
the current timeline.
Yeah. So that doesn't fix it. The idea that there wasn't, they weren't there for the blip. I still think it would have been the most tragic scene if they opened up to find their daughter and it was just sand.
Ash,
whatever.
They didn't turn to sand.
You don't know that. They never said ash. That's just you're just assuming. It could be dark
sand
colored.
Doesn't float in the air the way that that Hawkeye's kids did.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, small enough grains of sand do.
No.
Sand can be blown by the wind.
It's just it can be blown by the wind, but it doesn't float.
If it's wet, if it's, you know.
That's worse.
No, I'm saying if it's wet, it doesn't. And so near the ocean, it doesn't. But like sand can get easily blown around. That's why we have deserts.
Yeah, but it's windy. It has to be windy for that to happen.
Yeah, most of those people were windy. Anyway, I don't think it was sand or ash. I think it was just like, I just call it sand to be silly. I think it's some sort of ethereal matter that they're just like dissipating into.
We have to talk about this. We have to analyze it down to the very minutia because we have nothing else to talk about in universe right now.
It's true. That's fair. All right. Then let's keep going. Sand versus ash.
It's ash. It has to be.
it's sand because I don't want to be wrong.
that's fair. I also don't want to be wrong. That's why it's ash.
All right. Damn, you have me there. Okay. Last piece of feedback is a voicemail. Woo. Jordan has a voicemail for us.
Hey guys, Jordan here, listening to your series finale of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. And right now I'm on Matt's rant part about the parts he doesn't like. And I think he might have missed a couple things, or at least maybe I just understood what happened a little bit differently. As for Korra and her powers never being set up, I'm pretty sure they did set up the fact that she just had... They said that she had the ability to create a lot of energy, but then they set it up when she brought Sybil into the lighthouse. Remember, she punched the wall while May was in the room because May was trying to get rise out of her, and she punched the wall with one punch. She brought down all of their power, which means she's somehow tied to their power grid and able to carry that. And her bringing that down allowed Sybil to come into the lighthouse. Like, remember Matt, remember Jeff had a big thing with firewalls? Don't go down. They, like, Korra brought down the firewalls in that moment. Like, so that's what I understood it as. So that didn't bother me that she was able to amplify the power of the ship and project that signal a little farther. And then secondly, with it, when it comes to the Chronicons and the empathy thing, I was under the impression that their empathy was taken from them after their home planet was taken. That's why all Chronicons were pretty friendly towards them before that happened. And then all of a sudden, when they met the guy that Enoch skin swapped with at the end of season 6, they didn't expect him to be not friendly because all Comic-Cons had always been friendly with them. But after they were pretty much destroyed, I was under the impression that Sybil ripped their ability to have empathy away from them so that she would have them doing exactly what they needed, because she turned every... it was stated, into a hunter. There were no other types of Comic-Cons anymore. They were all turned into hunters. Maybe I saw something different. Maybe I understood something differently. Maybe I just am wrong. I don't know, but love hearing you guys talk. Can't wait to listen to the rest of the chat, and I'm so bummed that this is over. I loved the series, but it ended a little too happily for me. Everybody had a happy ending. Everybody. Like, what? That's not how it's normally supposed to happen. Oh, love you guys.
Thank you, Jordan. Love you too. Although you're being a bit of a sadist here. I mean, you're like, why does everyone get a happy ending? I'm mostly teasing. I think that's fairly true. Like, especially being a Whedon show, I was surprised no one died.
I mean, with the snap being a thing in main universe, and now that they finally know about it, when coming back to the main verse, I would think that there should be something, you know, some sort of nod to it. But I guess, you know, they were so far afield at this point that it really didn't matter, or it would be weird to, you know, to tie back in so heavily and end it on such a sad note. As far as like somebody dying, it could have been, I mean, it could have been Daisy, you know. It could have just been like, well, she's dead. She's in space. Yeah. She sacrificed herself for the world. Good job.
I thought that's where they were going. And then when she brought her back, I think maybe that's part of why I pushed back on Cora being able to do it. As I'm like, why did she do that? It's like, this is probably the last time we'll see these characters. Very likely. And it'd be kind of a nice end to her character to die for everyone. Always nice to have someone make the sacrifice play in the big finale. But it just adds weight to the whole situation.
Right.
As for Cora's powers, we talked about Cora's the one a good bit last time we talked about S.H.I.E.L.D. with her being able to shut down the power. I thought it was just a power surge she created that, like, rebooted everything. But other people seem to think she might have, like, reached into the systems and hacked it, kind of. Which I think is just, like, that seems too much out of her power set. At least as we understand it, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just say no.
Right.
I disagree that was it.
Well, but then she can apparently help extend the data that May is doing. So, like if you want to give her that power set, like, that's fine, but, like, give it to her and explain it. It's just basic rules. Like, we need rules around this lady's power, and we don't have them.
Yeah. The way that I interpreted it with the signal is that you have to give the thing that is broadcasting the signal more power in order for it to broadcast that signal to everybody like it needs to. So her putting energy into it gives it more power.
Right, sure. But, like, it doesn't seem like it needs that much power to just reach out to the Chronicoms. Like, Fitz has worked with so many different power sources, and, like, he scanned an entire, he created a universe to get this power source. Like, why not get the one of the Infinity Stones, or, you know, like, why not use the Power Stone? Like, whatever. There's all kinds of, well, okay, there's reasons you wouldn't use the Power Stone, but, like, whatever, the Tesseract. Why don't go back into the S.H.I.E.L.D. and steal the Tesseract for a day? There's all kinds of things you could do to create this, and or to just create it. If you just need power, that seems like a silly reason. So it seems like she was doing something with her power other than just powering, but I don't know. It seems like if in two universes she is the greatest source of power, that is huge. That is huge.
It seems weird to create an entire universe for a battery.
Right, exactly. That's my point. Like, you could probably do something else.
Right.
Anyway, what was the other thing?
It was a big download, man.
Yeah, a big download. And, you know, you get lots of power for that. It just doesn't seem to line up. I don't know. And the empathy thing... see, everything Jordan says here, he's referencing something from season 6, and neither me nor you know anything about season 6, even though we did a weekly podcast about it.
I try to block season 6 out of my memory.
Kind of went in one eyeball and out the other.
That's such a weird thing to say.
Well, on that note, you're probably right, Jordan. They probably did take the empathy away and make them all hunters. I don't remember that at all. I guess maybe they, like, took the empathy away because they needed to create a new planet, and Sybil decided that taking the empathy away was the thing to do.
No, I remember they all got reassigned. They all got reassigned to hunters. But, like, being put back to...
Just being reassigned doesn't give you new abilities and doesn't take your empathy away.
Right. Well, I mean, it might, because it's like a personality wipe. Like, you're now hunter and you have these skills, but, like, if that's the thing, then why would May's empathy go out and be the change that they need? Why couldn't they just put a different personality on them all? Like, there's other ways you could have gone about it. You still could have even used the battery. I mean, right. Cora.
Or use empathy.
Coracell, like, that's her name.
Coracell, yes. That's better. That's even better than Life Hack. Coracell. Oh, man. I think on that note, I think we got there. Let's end it. That's we'll go out on Coruscant. All right, guys, we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at all the places. And if you strandedpanda.com and mcucast.com is now rerouted to strandedpanda.com, where we've got all our MCU cast stuff there now. I'm excited about that.
Nice.
If you have the means and you're interested in geeky music, please don't forget about my Indiegogo. It's got 5 days left. This will be probably the last time I'll be able to mention it on cast.
Don't you forget about that.
Yeah. 5 days left, 38% to goal. There's a $20 gets you a CD, $40 gets you a CD and a t-shirt. And there's other things on there. It's all kinds of prizes or perks or whatnot. So please check it out.
It's a little Deke Squad shout out there.
Oh, right. That wasn't the Deke Squad. All right, guys. Well, that's strandedpanda.com/new album. That's what I was supposed to say.
Sorry.
It's all good. You distracted me. You de-extracted me. Coruscant. Bye, guys.
Until next time, true believers.